Hey guys, it's Anya, and this week's episode will be about pleasure and consent. So, today is the reason why I chose to do this podcast. Today is Denim Day, which is the day that represents the unfortunate, misguided conclusion that came in an Italian court when a teen was raped. She was wearing tight denim jeans. And the court concluded, since the jeans were so tight, that she must have helped her assailant, which concluded in the fact that they thought it was consensual sex, which, in fact, it was not. So, pleasure. It's a lot of different things for many people. There's physical pleasure, and then, you know, there's just the emotional pleasure that some people get. Let me explain the two differences. Physical pleasure, it's, you know, touching, consensual touching, of course. And, you know, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel some type of way, whether it's sexual or just, you know, you making out with your partner. It's a physical feeling, a physical touch, a physical sensation. And, you know, pleasuring yourself. A lot of people say that it's dirty, it's wrong. But it's just a part of being human. It's a part of feeling. You know, I often read Teen Vogue articles about pleasure. And a lot of it is basically about not being ashamed of it and also doing it safely. And then you have your emotional pleasure, which is basically just something that makes you feel good emotionally. Whether it's listening to your favorite song or rereading your favorite book, you always have some type of emotional pleasure that does not come out of physical contact or physical touch. Now, I'm going to go over consent. This is really aimed at not only my generation, but also parents. You guys are flustered and infuriated about what's happening in the media. And yet, the reason why those things are happening to my generation is because your generation didn't prepare us for that. Let me explain. So today, I was at the Denim Day rally in Foley Square in Manhattan. And one of the speakers there, he brought up a really interesting point about consent. About how, you know, we expect teens to just automatically know this somehow. And the reason why he said that is because we don't teach them. You know, he went to several schools and just several places where teens are, such as schools, churches, etc. And most often the case was less than 50%, 10%, even less than 5% of those students raised their hands when he asked them if their parents had taught them about consent. Now, I personally don't think my mother really went that deep. She just said, don't let anybody touch you, you know, that type of talk. But she never really went into, oh, your body is your pleasures. Do what you want. Just make sure you feel comfortable with it. She never gave me that part of the talk. And I think that's really important. You know, we often talk to teens about safe sex. But part of that safe sex is being consensual with your partner. A lot of teens might think, oh, consent isn't sexy. You know, you're in the heat of the moment and then you just stuck like, hey, you want to do this? I know that might sound really corny and might dampen the mood, but it saves a lot of struggle and hassle later when you actually ask for consent. Sex is a two-person thing. It requires both halves of the whole to consent and say, yes, I want to have sex with you. There are fortunately things in this world that some men and some women take as consent, when in reality it's not. For example, if someone is intoxicated, if they say yes, that is not a yes. You know why? Because they are not fully aware of their surroundings or aware of what they're doing. And therefore, they cannot make proper decisions or proper judgment. So if that person is high off of some weed or they're drunk, you cannot ask for their consent because they're not 100%. Another thing that's greatly spoken about in terms of rape culture is the things that we wear. Just because I'm wearing something that's very revealing does not mean I give you consent to touch me. And that was one of the big things about Denim Day and just Sexual Assault Awareness Month in general, is that our clothing is not our consent. You know, consent is only a clear yes. It is not, oh, maybe, or I don't know, or give me a minute, or, oh, I see this cute girl walking down the street with a tube top. That is not consent. Consent is, can I do this with you? Can I do that with you? Maybe do this, maybe do that. That is consent. And the person giving a clear yes. Not a no, not a I don't know, not a maybe. If it's not a yes, it's not consent. And the reason why I say this is because women and girls, and yes, some men and boys are being raped or sexually assaulted on a daily basis. And a lot of that is coming from non-consensual sex. And most of the time, it does happen to females, such as at college parties or on just a college campus in general, high school parties, and also elderly are sexually abused as well. And most of the time, it's by someone that they know. Today at the Denim Day rally, I heard multiple powerful women and young girls speaking about their experience and speaking about how these atrocities occur every day to everyday people, and yet we stay silent. And something that bothers me the most about this topic is when, you know, survivors come forward and then they're criticized. Most survivors, on average, may take years to come forward about what's happened to them. 10, 15, maybe even more. And the reason why they do this isn't because they don't want to. Of course you'd want to tell somebody, but it's over several factors, such as not being believed, being called a slut, saying you are asking for it, your situation being downplayed. Those are reasons why women usually don't come forward. I actually had an incident in my high school where, you know, I was sticking up for a friend, and my guidance counselor didn't do anything. I told her my friend was being sexually harassed, what should I do? And my guidance counselor told me that she would have to come and do it herself. Like, so my guidance counselor, hey, she won't do it, because most victims cannot verbalize the type of pain and trauma that they went through. And she's like, oh, well, until she comes forward, there's nothing I can do. Several days passed, and the assault still continued, but fortunately stopped. My issue is that, number one, it continued when it should have ceased to happen, and two, my guidance counselor didn't seem to care enough to be vigilant about the situation and still go head first into, you know, what was going on her school campus. And that all led me to create a program in my high school, which I am now planning on expanding to other high schools. It's called Sexual Assault Ambassadors. Basically, what we do is that we take a group of teens and train them to deal with sexual assault survivors, sexual assault victims. And we really emphasize into the mental health portion of it. And we usually leave the physical stuff, whether it's a medical issue or et cetera, we leave that for the adults. But, you know, looking further into the NYC DOA policy about sexual assault and rape, they had a quote-unquote system in place when these types of things occur, but there is no system. They have papers online. I went back, and these documents were from 2011, 2008. And I'm looking at them, and one, they haven't been renewed. It's been almost a decade since some of them have been renewed or, you know, fixed to custom modern times. And my school wasn't implementing it. You know, I found out there was this thing where a non-party person of the assault or witness can come forward and report. And yet that wasn't being put into action at my school, where I could have fully reported the incident and got that guy suspended, even expelled from the school. And that's our issue here. Today, I did go to the rally with GGE, which is Girls for Gender Equity. And they are planning something so wonderful, so spectacular. I just had to share with you guys. They are planning a rally for another Title IX coordinator. And what that means is that that is the person who deals with sexual assault in all NYC DOE schools. The problem with that is there's only one person for, I think, 1.1 or 1.5 million students. And that's not enough. You know, it's in a system where there's help, but the help isn't reachable. Especially in my case where there was some type of system in place, but the system wasn't being enforced. And so next week on April 30th, we are going to City Hall, I believe, and we're protesting. We're saying that this issue is controversial, it is huge, and we can't keep ignoring it in our schools. I will be speaking at that event mainly because, not only because of the work I'm doing in my school, but for the general safety of New York City schools. You know, we should be able to feel safe, and if, God forbid, something does happen, we should be able to know that there is a person we could go to. And, you know, looking through those papers from 2008-2011 that talked about sexual assault, there were so many good things in there that weren't being enforced. Like, there was an actual hard printed copy you could have for a non-party person or a witness to fill out if they witness sexual assault of another person. That's the actual document that a student can fill out, but it wasn't existing in my school. There was supposed to be someone in the building specifically designated to deal with sexual assault and harassment. That is not the case in my school. The most I had is my guidance counselor, and she didn't do very much. And the reason why we have a whole month dedicated to sexual assault awareness is because it's a huge epidemic in our country. Every 2 minutes, someone is sexually assaulted. And that shouldn't be a statistic, especially when you look at communities of people of color and transgender people. Those statistics are staggering. They skyrocket past what anyone would believe, especially when it comes to sexual assault in the military. Sexual assault in general is a huge problem, and we cannot keep turning the other cheek or looking away at these circumstances. Another great, you know, point that was made today at the Denim Day rally was teaching our kids from young. You know, we always talk about the next generation is going to be the better generation. We can't make that promise if we don't start teaching our kids as young as possible. You know, I saw a post on Instagram where a parent was criticizing another parent for telling your children about homosexuality, gays, and the LGBTQ community. And, you know, that's what we criticized. But at the same time, it's normalized in society to be, like, teasing our young boys, oh, you have a girlfriend yet? So, what's so different about talking about LGBTQ? You know, it's really under that circumstance of where we expose our children from a young age, because the younger they get it, the better they'll be when they're growing up. You know, and consent is a big thing when it talks to, when we talk about it, to our young boys and our young girls. We have to teach the boys to respect the young girls. We have to teach them to ask, can I hug you? Can I give you a high five? You know, it's the little things that we overlook that builds up on our rape culture and toxic masculinity as a whole. And people in general want to benefit their sons, benefit the future male adults of society, but at the same time, when we're young, we're teaching them to be rough and fight around and excusing them for things that girls don't get excused for. And that's what builds up into rape culture and toxic masculinity. Now, the point that was made was teach consent. We talk about consent all the time as preventing rape and sexual assault. We talk about what is consent, what isn't consent. But by the time we tell people that, they're usually in high school, and by that point, it's too late. High school, your child is practically already in the world, doing their own thing, with much more freedom than they ever have gotten from elementary or middle school. And with that freedom can come choices, and those choices can lead to disasters if we do not teach them the basics of how to interact with people, especially with the other sex. Consent, consent, consent. That's the whole point of a relationship, any relationship. You know, and we tend to blame the females for this when in reality we are pestering them and putting them in this small little box to act some type of way. And no, we're not even teaching our girls right. We are teaching them how they should be respected by a man, what consent is. You know, and then people like to blame our young girls for things that happen to them, which is beyond horrible, but it still happens. And, you know, when you look back to the basis of it, it's really how you raised your kids. How you raised them play fighting. How you raised your young girl saying, oh, he's just being mean to you because he likes you. You, by saying that, are promoting domestic violence. We really need to look at how we talk to our kids, how we raise them, how we have them interact with other people their age. Because once they grow up and they make a huge mistake, we cannot fix that. We don't have the time to fix it anymore. We need comprehensive programs in our middle schools. We need to have these talks with our kids. Because if they're young enough for you to be joking around with them, asking if they have a boyfriend or girlfriend, then you get to realize that they are old enough for not only for you to be talking about LGBTQ, but you're also making it know that they are also old enough to learn about consent and how to respect another person. It's not just about manners anymore. It's not just about, oh, do this, don't do that. It's about laying the proper foundation. Because at the end of the day, the youth is the future. If we don't properly attend to our youth, then we're just repeating history all over again. We're repeating the same future that my parents had, my grandparents had. It's always consent. Start with consent. Well, that is it for this week's episode. Before I sign off, I just want to say to survivors, I hear you. I am here for you. I believe you. And just remember that there is a whole group of people listening to you, believing you, looking out for you. And just know that if you ever need anything, there are plenty of online resources. You could even leave me a voice message through the Anchor app and just talk to me, speak about it, you know. So I just want to thank everyone for listening. Shout out to all the survivors. You guys are stronger than you think. Remember to leave me a voice message on the Anchor app. Download the Anchor app on the Apple Store and send me a voice message. It can be comments, questions, anything. And this is Anya, guys, and I'll see you next week.